was like, wait, this is Mother's Day Saturday, Sabbath. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I looked at this verse this morning and I thought, man, maybe I should do something different. I said, but I prayed about this. And I looked at Psalms 94, and I used the New Living Translation because it's easy. I mean, if you have the New King James Version, it means the same thing. And if I say in the New King James, it says, if I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. I don't know how many times we think we're falling, but I feel like parents and especially mothers worry a lot about making a mistake, being a bad example. Especially moms who are in Christ. They think back on when they were younger, and I've talked to my own mom about this, and they say, wow, I could have done something different. I could have been a better mom. And dads probably say the same thing because the human condition, we all go through this. And you worry, especially as you see your kids growing up and making mistakes or making choices you wouldn't want them to make. And I thought, well, what examples do we have? And as I looked at Psalms 94, I was also reading, I'm doing a study on Mark, and I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1 in your Bible or on your phone. There's going to be three examples of people. And the first example is actually going to be Jesus. And so if you look at Mark chapter 1, you're going to look at verses 11 through 14. So verse 11, I'm going to read in the New King James Version. It says, then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Immediately the spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel or the good news of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel or believe this good news. This is really weird. Jesus, let's go back to verse 11. God says, hey, you're my beloved son. And then guess what? Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and is tempted by the devil and suffers. It's this, you are loved by God and then you go through trouble. And if you look at the temptations of Jesus more specifically, say you were to go look at those temptations in Luke to get the specifics, you'll find out that the questions are all about who is Jesus. The first question Satan asks him, he says, if you are the Son of God. Basically, he's saying, if God really loves you, then you should stop your suffering. If God really loves you. John the Baptist, who's my second example, goes through the same thing. He's born, he's prophesied that he's going to come and prepare the way for the Messiah. And then you know what happens? He sees Jesus, he recognizes, he says, behold the Lamb of God in another one of the Gospels. He baptizes Jesus. This is amazing. He hears the voice of God calling Jesus his beloved son. And then you know what happens next in the story? John gets put in jail. This doesn't make any sense. He receives the affirmation that his message is true. And then he suffers. Jesus receives affirmation of who he is and his mission. He's the beloved son of God. And then he goes into the wilderness to suffer. And now I'm going to give you the third example, Mary, the mother of Jesus. So I want you to turn with me. I'm going to spend a little more time with her to Luke. Luke chapter 1. And we're going to go to verse 28. I won't read the whole story, but you can. It's really quite delightful. Mary, we don't know how old she is. Some people say she's 16. I cannot believe that she's 16. I remember me when I was 16 and I didn't have enough sense. So I'm convinced that she was older. Now, if you look at verse 28, Gabriel has come down to Nazareth and he's talking to her. He comes to this virgin. She's engaged to be married to Joseph and her name's Mary. In verse 28, it says, this is Luke 1, verse 28. And having come in, the angel says to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Like, how exciting is that? Wouldn't you love someone to come to your house and say, "Hey, blessed are you among women"? Sometimes women feel like that. You get someone that you love. You have a child. And you're like, "Wow, I'm so blessed." It's a surprise sometimes. Sometimes it's planned for. Sometimes it's not even your child. Sometimes it's a niece or a nephew and you're just amazed. Or a child that you adopt or foster or just love. And you're like, you feel blessed. And Mary has this greeting. And if you go to verse, she again gets called blessed in verse 42 when she visits her cousin. And it says, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Wonderfulness. Affirmed. She's affirmed. She's blessed. And then in verse 45, this is the part I love. It says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord." So she gets affirmation after affirmation after affirmation. She's blessed. She's beloved. The prophecies will be fulfilled. And then she says in verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly estate of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." She hasn't experienced it yet, but she's accepting it. She's been affirmed, right? And then life continues. So years go by, okay? You know, Jesus is born, but it's not a blessed situation. Her husband, she's engaged, but she's not married. So she's kind of, I'm sure she was worried. Joseph takes her anyways. Then they have to go across country in her 9th month of pregnancy on a donkey. I think it's a donkey. I don't know if that's actually in the story. But she has to go across country with her fiance and go stay probably with extended family because they went to Bethlehem. And that's where the family's originally from. So they probably have cousins there. They all know she's pregnant and they ain't married yet. Okay? She goes there and it says there's no place for them to stay. Now, likelihood, there's no place for them to stay. The translation, it says in the inn, but it really means in that like family house. There's nowhere for them to stay. And they actually have to stay basically where the animals stay, which is usually a courtyard that the house surrounds. And so basically they're outside the house and she's pregnant. It's hard for me to believe that the family couldn't make room for her. You make room for the pregnant lady. So something else is probably going on. Maybe the family's displeased. I don't know, but it's a bad situation. And we continue. And if you look at Luke chapter 2, and you go to verse 8, we find out that the shepherds are coming. She doesn't know they're coming, but they arrive, okay, in verse 8. And you go through verse 8 through 19. I won't take your time to read it. But again, it's the Christmas story. It's really pretty, you know. And the angel comes to the shepherds and says, hey, you're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And the shepherds hear all these angels in verse 13. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. This is wonderful. And then the shepherds come and they find her. In verse 17, it says, now when they had seen him, And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Why would she ponder? She already had been told she was blessed among women. But imagine if you went through a cross-country trip, then you got stuck outside with the animals to have your baby. It's not really that clean. It couldn't have been comfortable. And then some random dirty shepherds show up telling you you're going to have, like, God. And she'd already been affirmed in it, but it says she pondered. She wondered. I mean, she remembered. She clearly didn't forget, but this is weird. How many times, moms, have you looked at your kid and said, this is weird. This is not what I expected as a mother. This is not what I expected to happen. And you ponder these things, good things and bad things, like what's really going on? And you wonder. I want to flash back a little bit to John the Baptist. He wondered. It says that when Jesus, and I'm just going to reference back, it says that when he got put in jail, later on, he sent a message to Jesus and said, are you the one or should we expect another? He wondered too. So Mary's got good company. She's wondering, how is this going to be? How is her child going to grow and succeed? How is this going to be? We find out that she receives some more affirmation in Luke chapter 2 and a warning. If you look at Luke chapter 2, verse 34, she goes to have Jesus blessed. And your mom's going, take your little one to be blessed. Mary and Joseph and your fathers, you take your child to be blessed. And they did the same thing. And in verse chapter 2, verse 34, they run into Simeon. And it says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword shall pierce through your own soul that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And then Anna, a prophetess, in verse 36, she comes. And we find out some background about her. She's like 84 years old, and she just prays and serves God in the temple day and night. And it says that, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Israel. So Mary and Joseph, especially Mary, Simeon looks at her and says, this is who your child's going to be. But he also tells her, and a sword will pierce your heart. He tells her, you're going to hurt like you're dying, like you died. I really believe that many mothers go through this with their children, the struggles they see their children go through. And your heart hurts. Your heart hurts for your babies. And Mary's told, this is what's going to happen. Even as she's blessed. And then what happens? We know the story as it goes because we're told that she has a few different sufferings and she makes some mistakes. We find out that in Luke chapter 2, verses 48, we don't have to go far. Mary, she basically yells at Jesus in verse 48. She says, so when they saw him, remember, they lost him. They went on their trek to Jerusalem over Passover, and they lost Jesus. They couldn't find him. So they went looking for him. And she finds him, and she says to him, when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? How many times have you looked at your kid who's done something you don't like and said, how could you do this to me? How could you hurt me? I love you. And son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And then Jesus says, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? She's worried about him. She's anxious. She's scared. And so she rebukes him, but he's exactly where he's supposed to be. As a parent, how many times have we punished a child or yelled at our child and then realized it was our own fault? They wouldn't have been doing that if we hadn't left them too long, or maybe we just had a bad day. Mary goes through the same thing. Joseph goes through this, and they're anxious and they're worried. The baby's okay. Their son's okay. And then they rebuke him. They make a mistake as a parent. And then there comes the end of the story, the parent's nightmare. And now there's only Mary. Joseph must have gone to sleep at this point and on into the Lord. And we see that after Mary watches her son grow, she sees that her other kids, and maybe they're her stepkids, they have issues with her kids. You see your children, they have issues. If you were to look at John 7:4, you'll find out that Joseph's brothers, and by the way, the word brothers can also be brothers and sisters in the original language. So his siblings are like, if you're who you say you are, then why don't you do what you're supposed to do? And they jump on Jesus. And Mary's kind of caught up in this. And you receive reflections of this later on in the story. And so you see your children grow. You see your child grow. But there's conflict in the home. This is what Mary goes through. And then I want you to turn with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. Jesus has been put on the cross. They put Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, on the top of his cross, and they've hung him. And he's laying there naked, and they've cast lots for his clothes. They've gambled for his clothes. They've yelled at him. The people he's healed have shouted, crucify him. And Mary has seen all of this. Her baby boy, who an angel came and said, blessed are you among women. She's even admitted to it when before the baby was born. And she says, henceforth, all women will call me blessed. But instead, she's watching that baby boy hung on a cross, treated like a criminal. And it says in verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. And you wonder, oh my gosh, the prophecy is fulfilled, the sword piercing her heart. She sees him. And Jesus looks down and sees his mother. And you know, she wants to go to him. She wants to care for him, but she can't do anything. It's a parent's nightmare. You can't protect your baby. You would climb up there, and I'm sure she would have climbed up there if she could have. You've seen your child suffer and you want to take it away, but you can't. It's worse than your own suffering. And she's down at her in verse 26. But also want to go back. It says his mother's sister was there. And it says another Mary was there. And another Mary. So in her suffering, she really wasn't alone. Even though she suffered, God does not leave us alone when we're going through bad things. We're told that if you flash back to John the Baptist, his disciples came to visit him when he was in prison. Okay? The only person who was truly alone in their suffering is when Jesus did his 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And then the angels came and ministered to him. Now here, the angels next to Mary are her sisters. I love my sisters. And some other female friends who come to comfort her. There's also someone else there. There's another disciple whom Jesus loved in verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." And he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. This says something. The first lesson is God calls you beloved mothers. You are blessed and highly favored. Just as Jesus is our example in this way, Jesus, when he chooses God and he makes a public declaration in baptism, even though he's already perfect and he's never sinned, but he makes this public declaration that he belongs to God, God responds before Jesus has actually done anything and says, "You are my beloved son." In the same way, when God gifts Mary with the promise of Jesus, he comes to her before she's done anything and calls her blessed among women. She's highly favored. God comes to each of us when we choose him, just in our minds. We haven't done anything yet. And he loves it. He says, "Mother, I know you're going through trouble. I know that you're suffering, but you are beloved. You are highly favored. I know that you're suffering right now, that you may be going through things. There's financial issues right now. Some of us can't work. Some of us can't make enough money. Some of us are sick. Some of us are watching our children suffer, which is even worse, and we can't do anything. But God is saying, you're still my beloved. You're still worth more than all of eternity to me. I would rather die." And that's what Jesus is about. He's on the cross, and he's saying, "I would rather die than lose you." And so he dies on that cross, but he doesn't forget his mother. He makes sure she is loved and cared for, even when he's dying. And I think this is a lesson for mothers. God will take care of you. He will take care of your children. We find out later in the story that the siblings that didn't even believe in Jesus, we find out that one of his brothers, James, is a leading follower of Christ.
Amen.
So her children are saved. Her baby boy is resurrected and sits on a throne, okay? And even though she went through her suffering, it didn't define her. Her identity was solid in Christ. Your identity is solid in Christ. He favors you. He blesses you. You may go through suffering. In fact, all of these people went through horrible suffering and they were beloved by God. And I think this is where this Psalms comes in. And the Psalm talks about, Psalms 94, it talks about the wicked and God being a God of vengeance. And that's saying, hey, God is a God of justice. It's not our kind of vengeance where you just hurt somebody. It's a God of justice who will make sure that when you suffer, Mary didn't do anything to suffer. John the Baptist, he didn't do anything to suffer. They weren't doing exactly what they were supposed to do. They weren't perfect, and they wondered. But God had them where they were supposed to be. And if you look at Psalms 94, if you take the time to read it, and read it in a translation that's easy for you, and you go, and and you worry and you wonder. And the psalmist says in verse 18, I cried out, I'm slipping. My foot is slipping. I'm falling. I'm about to lose it. I'm not going to make it. Because he's suffering, and he's suffering unfairly. And it says, when doubts filled my mind, when he's wondering, is God with me? Am I still favored? Am I still blessed? Am I still beloved? Did I mess it up? Did I not raise my kids right? Did I not make the right choices? I doubted in my mind. Did I mess up? He's wondering, when doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. He remembers, like we can remember, when Mary was there, he surrounded her by loved ones. He made sure she was still loved in her suffering. When Jesus died on the cross, God made sure that it resurrected him. When John the Baptist died, Jesus called him, there were none greater than him. No prophet was greater than him. God remembered him. And I can't help but wonder that when Jesus rose again, he took those first fruits, if he didn't take John the Baptist with him. Think on this. In your suffering, in your trials, when your children are struggling, trust God. Don't let go of your hope in Christ. Don't let go of your hold on God, the Father who loves you and sent his only begotten to die for you and then resurrected him and sent you the Holy Spirit to get through the suffering. Hold on. Hold on and let God comfort you in the midst and give you good cheer. Take cheer because God's faithfulness is great. Remember the song, great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness. And have good cheer. The storm will pass. The sun will shine again. And you are beloved and highly, highly favored. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, sister. Thank you. Thank you very much for the wonderful message of comfort. And thank you for your sharing. Let's move on now to our closing song before I close in prayer.
Sunshine, changing grace in every high and stormy.
Amen. I think you're still on mute.
David, you're muted.
No, I'm not.
There you go. Can hear you now.
All right. Do you guys hear me?
Yes.
All right. Let's bow our head. Most precious, loving Father God in heaven, we just want to thank you again, Father, for this holy Sabbath hours that was provided in us. And thank you, Father, for the sharing of our sister in the way that the hope that we have is only through Jesus Christ. But thank you for the comfort that you always provide for us in our trials and tribulations, that you said you will never leave us nor forsake us. And it's time of these viruses and pandemic that going through in our community and throughout the world, that we can instill the hope that we have is undisturbed, which is Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us and what you will do for us, that you will come real soon and you will come and take your children home. May we be part in that kingdom that you're preparing for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
Thank you. Very much.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath. Thank you, Tammy.
Amen.
Wonderful message.
Yes.
God is good.
Amen.
Amen.
All the time, all the time.
Amen.
All right, brothers and sisters, see you guys Wednesday, or those people that are having gospel gathering, as well as the devotions.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a small announcement.
Go ahead.
For those of us who can, Write the Hate with like volunteers and packaging items for their food drive on Wednesday. So if you're interested, just let me know.
Yeah. See you guys on Wednesday. All right.
Yes.
Mom. Yeah.